if it were healing of our body, it may be something that's more evident to us. A pain that I felt, or a growth that came up, or a lump, or a pull, or a strain, or a cough, or something didn't just feel right, didn't sound right. We would be pretty keen to that if we're in touch with our bodies. But what if there's a healing that needs to come to our spiritual eyes? Who's going to be my indicator of that if I'm still looking at what I shouldn't be looking at? You have gates on your eyes, according to the Bible. So you're the one that controls. You have eye gates. It's called eye gates. In other words, you control what you see. Sometimes you can't help it, but then even when you couldn't help what you saw, you can definitely make a decision how long you looked at it. Just saying. Your ears may need healing. Healing not just because you heard something that you shouldn't have heard, or heard something that stuck with you, but healing because you continue to leave an ear gate open to something else besides Him.
That's right.
Because I promise you, you need to be careful about who gets in your ears. You need to be careful about how often they get in your ears, and how long you let them ring in your ears. Because God is a jealous God. And if He gets more, if He gets less than something else gets, then He considers that an idol. Just saying. I promise you, I'm not preaching at somebody. It's not that I have a shortage of things to preach. Did I not tell you this morning that it could go anywhere, because I said I'm tuggling. Tuggling, there's your word. Tweet that. Tuggling. Pastor was tuggling between messages this morning. But over and over, we gave Him this thing at the beginning. And I'm hanging on for the ride right now. I saw a guy, Christine never forgets anything, but she forgot her music this morning. I had to run back home, and I saw this old boy coming over the hill on his Harley at 27 degrees, and you talk about chilling. But that's how I feel right now. I feel like I'm just kind of riding, and the wind's blowing. Oh, okay, I have to say blowing in my beard, because he's not blowing in my hair. First John, the first chapter. Now, not the book John, the three epistles of John. First John, Second John, Third John. It's toward the end of your Bible. First John chapter 1. It's talking about Jesus right here and giving particular framing of Jesus. That which was from the beginning. You know, Jesus didn't just happen whenever He was born, right? Because the Gospel, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The word Word right there is another name for Jesus. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. I've preached lately about offense, and I've preached about what Paul said about offense, and I told you as Paul spoke, he said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." And he said this in other scriptures, he said, "That which he has given unto me, that I give to you." And I told you, I've just, in my own mind, I've deemed him a one-off man, meaning he didn't get it out of a book. He didn't hear it out of somebody's podcast. He didn't hear a YouTube preacher and said, "That sounded real good. I think I'll repeat that." He said, "That which I got from the throne, that I give to you." One off. No other filter. Straight off. Hot off the press. Fresh bread. And here we have John saying, "That which was from the beginning, and we saw it with our own eyes, and we heard it with our own ears, and we touched him with our hands." That's what we're talking about. And it was so fresh, and it was so relevant. And how is it that in just 2,000 years it's watered down to, well, do what you feel. Do what makes you happy. Oh yeah, God would want you to do what makes you feel good. And wonder why we're in a mess. There's an old proverb that says, "He that runs, what is it, alone runs fastest?" Or, oh, I just butchered that, forget it. Only proverb I should be telling you is this one anyway. Told you I wasn't going to keep you long. "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." It is very possible for us to get disillusioned with this life. And somebody said amen. It can be going real good. And then all of a sudden it can get real bad. Let me give you an example. You ever get your tax returns back and you get an idea of what I'm going to do? Men? I'm going to Cabela's now. I knew I was talking to at least one of you. About the time something good happens and we got that tax return back, transmission goes out on the truck. But isn't that life? About the time something good is happening, something bad happens. And as believers, we can look at God and say, "God, where were you?" Right? And I told you last week, it is a very bad thing to be an unbelieving believer. How easily we can get disillusioned. And it usually comes through my eyes or through my ears or through some type of circumstance. And when I've been in control of it, and it goes bad, why is it that all of a sudden I start asking God, "Where were you? Where were you?" This whole thing is about following Him. And when you follow Him, there's a fellowship that occurs. And in that fellowship, there'll be times when you feel like you're the only one. Yes, you will. And you're never alone. When we face things that are hard, I'm not talking about the transmission going out. That's hard. But $1,800 and you're back on the road again. I'm not talking about the oven messing up. I'm talking about real stuff. Last week we had the little Catawba River running out here outside the church. We had a big old leak and it was crazy. We had They're coming to cut the water off. Everybody run to the bathroom. It looked like a great exodus. Last chance. I'm not talking about that. Those are inner inconveniences. I'm not talking about inconveniences. I'm talking about stuff. Something's happening with the children. Something's happening with my spouse. Something we've always been able to talk, and she's distant from me right now. And I don't know what's going on with that. Have you ever had something that's happening? You just can't put your finger on it, but something's not right. I'm talking about those things. And he says this, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Now, I don't have time to go into everything that I was going to say, because there's a way that we've got to walk. And there's a way that we've got to come into alignment. Have you ever had a tire that's out of alignment and it kind of bumps and pulls a certain direction? Well, if your alignment is not right, I promise you there will be things that try to pull you in a different direction. And until you get that alignment right, you're always going to be pulling in the wrong direction. And according to him, there's a place that we're supposed to walk, and it's called the light. Because it says we don't just walk in the light, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And he's just not in the light. He is the light. So we're supposed to walk like him. How's that going? Not looking at anybody in particular. And that's how we come into alignment. It's when we ask ourselves questions like that. How am I doing walking in the light? To break it down a little bit further, where are these eyes going? Where are these ears going? What's coming out of my mouth? Where's my conversation out when I'm not talking to Pastor John? Where am I at Wednesday at 2 o'clock at work? What's going on? Man, I'm meddling this morning. I'm being a little rough on you. I ain't trying to beat you around, but I'm telling you, everything that needs healing is not in my physical body. There's healing that he wants to take place in places we don't like to discuss. Some people will be very sick in their body and they don't want anybody to know about it. It's private. Some people will be sick in their body and they'll call everybody because they want everybody to know about the ache and the pain. Right? But most of the time, when it's a spiritual thing, we don't want anybody else to know it. We don't want to know about that. We want to look right on Sunday. We want to come around and how are you doing? Hey, hashtag blessed. Just saying, I hate that term. I think that's one of the corniest things. Because if I get blessed, I don't want hashtag to bless me. I want my blessing to come from God, right? Because hashtag can't pull me out. Hashtag can't help me, but God can. Amen. I'll leave that alone. But. I need a Hammond B3 organ when I start talking like that. It's the third time this page has flipped over one page. Lord, have you got something you're trying to tell them right there? No, I'm going to finish with this. He said, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. They had an interaction with Jesus, and they weren't wanting to keep it to themselves. They were wanting everybody to have what they had, because what they had when they met Jesus was authentic, and it was real, Do you know that there was craziness going on in those days? If we saw someone rise from the dead, we would go, what would be? There was stuff like that that happened because that wasn't the strangest thing that happened around them. There were strongholds. There were spiritual things going on. Jesus was coming on the scene, but he was authentic and he was real. And he said, he's getting ready to write some things that I plan on us going and looking at later. He said, I write these things to you that your joy may be full. I heard a song this morning that it said this, for somebody was telling me the words, for every tear of sorrow that you have, there is a cup of joy. For everything that you've gone through, if you can get past it and get an understanding that there's joy for that. There's for every tear, one drop. How many drops would it take to fill a cup? I don't know. But I can tell you, I know enough about math to tell you that ratio is way off. He has healing for you. Healing for you. Healing. How many of you would love to be whole? Whole. In every way. Not just in your body. If it's something that's in your body, of course you want to be whole. But if it's something in your spirit, and if it's something that messes up your spirit, something coming through your eye gate, something coming through your ear gate that you don't want anybody to know about, but you know, can I tell you there's healing for that? If there's not healing for it, then let's just all go home. We'll meet up here. We'll bring some sandwiches and some fried chicken next time. And this won't mean much. But if there's healing in Jesus' name, I want it. And we can have it if we'll simply do what the scripture in Isaiah said. Let pride die. I'm going to let pride die. Let pride die. And you don't have to air it out in front of everybody and come up here and say, hey, there's the thing that was a stronghold in my life. No. Let me just tell you, I don't want to hear it. Because sometimes people can't handle that, but you can't put anything on him that he can't handle. And in exchange for that, he has a cup for you. A cup for you. We talked about David this morning. We talked about King David, who was as bad as he could be. It took me to my adult years to realize there must be a different David in the Bible. That can't be the little boy that played so well on instruments and just played with the sheep, and then along came a giant and he kills him. No, that can't be the same David. What? Scandal? Are you? What? He did what? He packed him with a note to the commanding officer. What? When the battle gets heated, y'all pull back off the front line. Put him on the front line. When the battle gets heated, pull back and let him die right there. What? You're covering up what? Adultery. A pregnancy. A baby. Something that. And what? He was one of your, not just one of your warriors. He was one of your top 30. What? Got to be a different David. Right? Got to be a different David. To find out that guy could be a guy that was as bad as he was, and as good as we painted him, there was some really bad. But you're telling me there's a God that'll stoop down and bring me out of all that? Not just, I mean, he would do it if he was just the shepherd boy that he raised up. He took this guy that he raised up and went so low, and God still loved him. Don't tell me he can't bring healing to us. Healing. I believe, not just the witness of me, I believe today is a healing time for somebody. Christine, I want you to come back. I believe right now is a healing time. I believe that He is able to heal physical, spiritual, emotional. Do you believe that the body of Christ needs an emotional healing? We have been led around by our emotions. Are you tired of being led around? I heard of somebody this week that they had to change the rules of the house. No longer can the dog be walked without a leash on him because he runs. We just got through changing the rules of our house. No longer does the dog need a leash on him. We're going to let him run. I've got that little dude trained so good. I let him go, and we run the fireplace. And about the time it gets hot in there, he gives us a little, he got to go. Now, that's my responsibility to open the door. But he goes out there, and he might spend 5 minutes. I go back and sit down. I don't even watch him anymore, but I used to watch him. And when he'd get right to the neighbor's yard, I'd say, he'd turn right back around and come back. But now he knows. Because I'm tired of being led around by a leash when I could do better. I can do better. I raised dogs all my life. I can train a dog better than that. Am I telling you the truth that he comes running back in there, he's done his stuff, he's done, and he doesn't leave the yard, does he? If a dog can learn that, why can't we? Why are we held to the leash and the collar of our emotions and be just drug around by them when there's a freedom that we can walk around in Jesus? And you're better than any dog that he made. God help us. If you want healing, He's the healer. And I could offer the prayer team to pray for you, but I can tell you that you can give it to God right where you sit. Right where you sit. And you letting that pride down and saying, God, you knew. Because here's the thing, He does know. I'm tired of trying to mask it. I'm tired of trying to hide it. I'm tired of coming here with a smile that's not authentic. I need to be free today, God. I need to walk in that place where these disciples walked and they heard Him, they saw Him, they touched Him, and they said, what we've got, we want you to have. We want you to have this fellowship with Him so that your joy may be full. And God, you will heal us of our emotions. You'll heal us spiritually. Certainly, you'll heal our bodies from our infirmities, from our sicknesses. So God, I ask you to do what only you can do right now in the name of Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we ask you to let it be done inside of us, Lord. Can you just tell Him, heal me, Lord? If it's my eyes, heal my eyes, Lord. If it's my ears, heal my ears, Lord. If it's my heart, if I'm holding on to things, God help me, let it go, let it go, let it go. Heal me, Lord. I want to worship you with all my heart. I want to praise you with a clean heart and with clean hands and with clean eyes and clean ears. I don't want to be led by my emotions. Heal what's broken in me. Will you tell him that, God? Heal what's broken in me in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Will you ask him right now, say, God, will you bring me back into alignment? I'm tired of stuff pulling me off of the straight and narrow. I'm tired of my eyes pulling me to the right, pulling me to the left. Whichever way I'm pulling, I'm tired of that. That's not getting me anywhere. I'm wearing down precious resources. I'm inefficient, God, in my walk with you. Bring me back into alignment. I want to follow you, Lord. And you is no shadow of turning. In you is no darkness at all. God, I've let some dark things in. In you is no darkness at all. You're light. And your word says I can walk in the light as you're in the light. And you are the light. In Jesus' name. And because he's faithful, will you just thank him for it right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your unconditional love. Thank you, Jesus, for your unconditional love. If you walk like that, you will move from self-condemnation to a place of confidence in God. I see it all the time. Christians walking in self-condemnation. That's an enemy trick. You're supposed to be walking in confidence in God. We've been taught that it's based on performance. We've been taught correctly, except for the subject of the performance. It's not our performance. It's not based on our performance. It's based on his, and his is perfect. And I thank you for that, Lord. I walk in confidence in you and what you did for me. The enemy copies. Every time, every count, he will try to copy God. He takes this thing called guilt. How is he copying that from God? Because God gives us, according to his word, godly sorrow. Godly sorrow comes from God. In other words, I am sorry for what I've done. But godly sorrow is a producer. It produces repentance. The copy of the enemy will take something that feels like godly sorrow, and it will be guilt, though, because guilt will keep you there. It'll keep you there. It'll keep you stuck. It'll keep you from being productive. It'll keep you at a place of self-condemnation instead of a place of confidence in God and in his mercy and in his grace towards you. Will you just tell him one more thing? Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that it'll follow me all the days of my life according to your word, Lord. All the days of my life it'll follow me, God. Help me not to test it. Help me not to walk in strange paths. Keep me straight. Bring me back into alignment right now in Jesus' name. I give you praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in a holy, whew, sometimes. When I begin to realize it wasn't what I did, it's what he did. Whew, thank you for that, God. You just tell him, thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't want to break what's going on, but I believe that the work is done. Amen. Do you believe that God's work is done? It's done. It's completed. Just tell him, God, thank you that it's done. Amen. You said that there were some things that needed to be said.
Amanda's going to come and just really quickly get you abreast of what's going on in the church, some things that you can get involved in. But I want to personally invite you to prayer on Wednesday nights. It's been so powerful. Prayer, the reading of the word, communion, ministry, specific prayer.